The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. Y'all might think that I'm going to pick on the ladies again today, and that is not the case. There's much that can be said when it comes to modesty for both men and women. It is true that the text that was read for us for the scripture reading this morning mentions women, but there's much that can be said for men as well. When we venture into the realm of opinion as to why we think Paul mentioned just women in that verse, I have my reasonings for it, my opinion on that, but again, that's just my opinion. We'll get to that momentarily. To be or not to be, that is the question. Those words were uttered by Hamlet in one of Shakespeare's plays several hundred years ago when he wrote those words. Well, what about modesty? Modest, to be or not to be? That is the question. What is the answer, by the way? To be modest is essential, right? We understand that, but how many times do we actually live out modesty in our lives? That can be a little bit more difficult. And so we need to look at what the Bible says about modesty. We need to understand that modesty can be approached from several perspectives. We'll look at those perspectives this morning. I've got three picked out for you in regards to modesty. The most common perspective when we talk about modesty, I believe, is in regards to sexual modesty. Memorial Day is coming up. And with Memorial Day coming up, there is often the temptation to wear things that simply should not be worn by a Christian. Both females and males, there are things that we should not wear. Sexually revealing clothing should not be worn by a Christian. But sexual modesty is only the tip of the iceberg. There are other violations of modesty that we can look at as well, namely showiness. You say, what do you mean showiness? Showiness, the idea of, look at me, I want to be the center of attention, and so I'm going to wear something that is going to make me the center of attention. Well, that would be a lack of modesty, as well as arrogance, which is very similar, the opposite of humility. And if you look at certain definitions of the term modesty, you'll see that modesty is a type of humility. So we'll look at these three aspects of modesty this morning. But before we do that, I want us to come up with a good working definition of the term modesty. If you look this word up, you're going to find varying connotations. We've already mentioned them. Varying connotations, different nuances of the same word, modesty. Now, this is common. There are actually lots of words that have different connotations. It may be the same word, but depending on how you use that word in the sentence, there might be slightly different meaning, different connotation. That's what a connotation is. And so we need to understand that I could use modesty regarding sexual modesty or immodesty, sexually speaking, or I can use modesty in these other ways that we've already mentioned. We need to understand that regarding these definitions. Now, one definition that I found for the idea of modesty is this: the quality or state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities. Anything sexual in that? No. That's a definition of modesty. It's one definition of modesty, one connotation in this word. Because this definition is highlighting the idea of being the opposite of arrogance, is how we know that there's multiple connotations involved in modesty. But here's another definition I found. This is the Wikipedia definition, believe it or not. Sometimes known as demureness, if I pronounce that correctly, a mode of dress, clothing, and deportment which intends to avoid the encouraging of sexual attraction of others. So that is a definition of modesty that does deal with the sexual realm of what we're talking about today. Wikipedia goes on to say the word modesty comes from the Latin word modestus, which means keeping within measure. I like that. Keeping within measure, okay? I have a standard of how I am going to dress. Should Christians have a standard of how they should dress? Yes. Right? We should have a standard. What is the standard? The standard is God's Word. But I don't like what Wikipedia said following that. They said standards of modesty are culturally and context dependent and vary widely. Do you agree with that? I don't. Because what Wikipedia is saying there is, well, modesty at church is one thing, but modesty at the beach or modesty in the Arab world versus United States, it varies. Do you agree with that? I sure don't. Because modesty can only be determined by the Word of God. So I don't agree with that at all. The Bible is the standard. I want us to notice what Thayer and Strong, both Greek lexicographers, say about this word modest, found in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Again, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Then verse 10 says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. What does that word modest in the English language, what does that come from? It comes from the Greek word kosmios. Kosmios, not cosmos, but kosmios. Kosmios, according to Thayer, is well-arranged, seemly, modest. Strong says orderly, that is decorous, of good behavior, modest. When we dress in such a way that we are revealing ourselves, sexually speaking, with our clothing, we're not orderly. We're not seemly. But then I want us to also look at this word shamefacedness. Shamefacedness comes from the Greek word eidos, and according to Thayer, eidos means a sense of shame or honor. Wait a second. A sense of shame or honor. How many times in recent weeks and months and years have we seen in the news a young woman or maybe even a young man at high school is told they cannot wear such and such clothing because it is too revealing or it's inappropriate in some other way, and then what do they say? You're body shaming us. Question. Does not the Greek say that we are to have a sense of shame about certain parts of our body? It does. And because God chose to write the New Testament in Greek, I think there's a reason that we have this Greek definition. We better pay attention to it. A sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, respect. I don't find much of that at all in various places where there is revealing clothing being worn. Strong says bashfulness, that is towards men, modesty towards God. Now, when I say towards men, I mean towards humanity there, Strong would say. Okay? Me being a male, I need to be bashful towards females. Modesty towards God, awe, reverence, shamefacedness. Okay, well, what does the world tell us today? Be flirty. Flaunt it if you got it. Am I right? That's what it says. Flirt with your clothing choice, okay? If you're a female, you wear something that's a little too high, a little too tight, a little too revealing in other areas, and flirt with it. Catch the eye of that young male. If you're a male, wear something that's going to show your muscles off. Wear that shirt that's so tight so you can show off so that those girls will notice you. That's what the world teaches us today. bashfulness towards other people means that I'm not going to do that. And then we also have this word sobriety. This is taken from the Greek word sophrosune. Sophrosune, both Thayer and Strong mention soundness of mind, sanity, self-control, sobriety. And so when the dad or the mom speaks to their young daughter, their young son, and they're about to go out the door to the school bus and they're wearing something they ought not to be wearing, they have a right to say, "Have you lost your mind?" Right? Because Thayer and Strong, in interpreting what this Greek word sophrosunai says, what it means is to not lose the mind. And so if you're wearing things that are inappropriate, you've lost your mind. Right? You have. So you need to think about that before you wear something inappropriate. Let's talk about sexual modesty and lack thereof in today's society. The sad fact of the matter is that sexual modesty in this country is long forgotten in most places. Certainly, I hope not in this place, but in many places in this country, sexual modesty has been forgotten. And by way of example, I want you to take a look at the pictures on the screen. This is unheard of today. We used to tell our young ladies on the picture on the right that by age 4, you better have a skirt that goes there, and that's the knee. And as you get older, that skirt needs to lengthen, because there are going to be young males that are going to be looking at your body and they're going to be lusting after you if you're not covering these things. Okay, that's what we used to teach young children. This would be one of those magazines or books that teaches manners and such in the 1800s. Okay, we've come a long way from that, haven't we? Now we teach our young ladies, literally, you buy clothing from Target, from Walmart, from JCPenney, what have you. We buy clothing, literally starting with toddlers, that is sexually revealing, and then we wonder why, when they get older, they want to wear these things. It's sad. You see on the other picture, a picture of a fun day at the beach. Nothing wrong with going to the beach. I like going to the beach. But what are we wearing at the beach? Because the standard of modesty does not change because I'm near water. God's word does not change because I am going to the beach. That doesn't give me excuse or license to show off my body. And again, it goes for males and females. You know, Lindsay and I thought about this a while back, and I used to be a typical male. I've never been for mixed swimming by any means, don't get me wrong. Mixed swimming is a bad idea. But when I'd go to the beach and things like that, a water park, I'd be a typical male. I'll be honest with you. What does a typical male wear when he's going to the beach, he's going to the water park? He wears his swim trunks and nothing up top, right? Is that right? No. Lindsay and I decided as a family, both males and females, what we're going to wear when we go to the beach, when we go to these places, we're going to wear something as modest as we can find. And what we found is both males and females will wear a swim trunk type bottom, and we will wear a swim shirt that covers as much skin as possible. And even then, you got to be careful. So there are things that we can do to try to be as modest as we can when we go to the beach, when we do various things, but we have to work toward it. We have to decide as a family that we're going to do so. The more skin that is shown, the better, according to society. Show it. Flaunt it. Show me what you got. attract that young man with what you got, because that is the way society has went. But I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter how comfortable something is. It doesn't matter how cute something is. It doesn't matter how trendy something is. If it is revealing too much, it is a sin. Sin is sin, regardless of what the political pundits or the fashionistas or my friends or my family say, sin is still sin. You look, I believe it's in the book of Leviticus. And in mentioning the definition of nakedness, what does God say? Look this up. I want you to look it up. I want you to study it for yourself. God says, down to the knees and up here, the shoulders. This is in the book of Leviticus, I believe. He's talking about the priest and how they weren't to be naked. What question? Is it only priests that have to worry about being naked? No, we all have got to make sure we're not naked. And so we've got to understand this. Now, in regards to why, in my opinion, Paul mentions only women in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, this is my opinion. Is it the case that modesty matters for both men and women? Yes. Absolutely. Is it also the case that men in particular struggle very much visually seeing women who are immodestly dressed? Yes. And 99.9% of men will tell you so. It may be the case that you may find a man every once in a while that for whatever reason doesn't struggle with that, but most do. Do some women struggle with this? Yes. And believe me, they do. If you don't believe me, go on the internet and see these little posts that women sometimes put that says, oh, did you notice the watch? But they're really looking at so-and-so's body. Notice that watch? Right? So, yes, women struggle with this some too, but men really, really have a lot of difficulty with this. And so in my opinion, I think Paul is highlighting that there. But we've all got to make sure that we're understanding that modesty from a sexual perspective is very important. Let's talk about modesty instead of showiness. This is very similar to what we've already discussed in a way. Because what is the sexually immodest person doing? They're showing off. What are they showing off? They're showing off their body. Did God make women beautiful and did God make men handsome? Of course He did. But did He make it such so that we can go lusting after people? Or so that we can go be stumbling blocks and make people lust after us? No, He did not. He didn't intend that. He intended us for us to be covered up. So the sexual modesty is really a showiness. So let's talk about showiness. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. What is Paul's point there? He's saying don't be wearing all this so you can show off. You don't need to be causing people to look at you because, oh, look how much this costs. Look how much that costs. Look at how fancy this is. If we're not careful, can jewelry cause us to do that? Yes. I want everybody to see my wife's ring because I took out a very large loan to pay for that one. Showiness. Okay, well, we can do this with all sorts of things. It may not even be our clothing. It may be our accessories. It may be that watch, that phone, those headphones. All kinds of things like this. Those sunglasses. right? Are there some expensive sunglasses on the market today? Yes, they are. Is it wrong to buy those? No, it's not wrong. But if you were buying it with the wrong intentions, it's wrong. That is, if you're buying it just because it's $200, $300, $400 and you want to show everybody that you can afford that, then that is wrong. Right? Showiness. So is it sinful to buy something that's nice? No. Is it sinful to buy something that's expensive? No. But if you're buying it to show off that you got the money to pay for it, then it is absolutely wrong. Sinful. So we've got to be careful. Again, shamefacedness, the idea of bashfulness, not wanting to be the center of attention. What does that say about some of the showy things that we kind of put on our t-shirts sometimes? You know what I'm talking about? We put these cute little phrases on our t-shirts. Some of those aren't sinful, but some of them I think are. So we need to be very careful about that. Modesty instead of arrogance. Now, the picture you see on the screen is the bad guy here, okay? The rest of these pictures have been showing what we need to be for the most part. I had a hard time finding pictures for this lesson because you search modesty and then you say, oh, not modest. Okay? But this guy is, I purposely searched for a guy. I searched center of attention guy or something like that. And so this is what this guy's doing. It's all about me. Look at me. Look how great I am. Why are we like this today? It may be because of the athletes and things, not just athletes, Hollywood stars, music artists, things. These people, literally, society is worshiping them in a lot of places. And because us regular folk can't be like them, we like to pretend like we are, and so we try to act like them, we crank up our music like them, and when we score the touchdown on backyard football, we like to do the victory dance that they do, right? It's all about us. It's not about the team. Modesty instead of arrogance. What is the root of wanting to impress people with our gear or our name brands, fancy name brands? Again, there's nothing wrong with buying something that's name brand if you're looking for quality and such and such. But if you're trying to impress people with the name on your shirt or what have you, something wrong with that. But what is the point of wanting to impress people with all that? What is the root cause of that? It is pride. The opposite of humility. It's pride. And we know what the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so just as you're spiking that football and doing the touchdown dance, you might trip and fall, and then there goes your pride. Back to that first definition of the word modesty that we mentioned. The quality or state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities. In short, modesty is the opposite of arrogance or cockiness. Where did that word cockiness come from? It came from the idea of proud as a peacock or proud as a rooster. Strutting your stuff. Look at me. Look how great I am. That is pride. So where's the application on this? When somebody pats us on the back for a job well done, do we like that pat on the back? Yes. Does it make us feel like we accomplished something? Sure. But should we take that and say, oh, look how great I am. I'm the best. Should we teach our children, you are the very best, the rest of your class? Should we teach them that, or should we teach them to pull for everybody? What if somebody came up to me today or in other times that I've preached and said, Chase, you did a great sermon today. What if I said, I know. Would that be prideful and arrogant? Yes, that would be the opposite of modesty, the opposite of humility. So what I need to do is I need to say thank you, or I appreciate that, or such and such. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm glad it helped you. Things of that nature. We don't need to be arrogant, and I see this a lot. I see it with people all over the place, but I see it with preachers a lot. I better be careful there. But all of us have to be careful about this. How many well-meaning parents build up their children's self-esteem so much that they become overconfident little brats? Think about that. And I don't say that to be funny. I mean, go to the ball field sometime and look at how these young boys and girls strut their stuff after they've, in their mind, done something amazing on the ball field. Should you be happy you made a good play? Sure. Glad you scored the winning run? Sure. But don't strut your stuff like you are something else. I'm going to pick on preachers today. I picked on the ladies last week. I told you this has not been mostly toward the ladies today. You may have thought that at first, but this is for all of us. And so I did pick on the ladies a little bit more last week. I'm going to pick on the men next month. Let me pick on myself for a little bit, and let me pick on other preachers, okay? Is it not the case that preachers may tend to be a little bit showy sometimes? You know what I don't like? More than don't like, it's in my mind very wrong. Sometimes we in the brotherhood, we look to preachers, and should we look up to them? Sure, in a way. But should we look up to them so much that we almost worship them? And if brother so-and-so said it, I believe it, regardless about what the Bible says. Did you know that brother so-and-so could be wrong? In fact, he probably is wrong about something. Did you know that I could be wrong about something? And so don't just take every word that I say for granted. Don't just take it without fact-checking it. Read it in your Bible. Search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so, like those Bereans. We've got to be careful about that. And so preachers sometimes are a little showy. A preacher wins a debate. Okay, we have debates every once in a while. Are debates a good thing to have? Yes, they're needed. I think we need to have more of them. But we need to have men debating that care about souls more than caring about winning the argument. Books that we've written. I've written 50 books. Now, there are some brethren in the brotherhood, some men and maybe women who are writing for ladies, who have written a bunch of books, and they're humble. But it may be the case that there are some people who have written a bunch of books that are not humble at all. They're arrogant. Number of baptisms they've had. What about the suits that they wear? Did you see? I bought this $2,000 suit. Trust me, this one's not $2,000, Jared. Nowhere near it. But can we be flashy and showy about these kind of things? Yes. Did you know that there are Bibles that cost $200, $300, $400? And believe, I kid you not, I know a lot of preachers that collect these things. I'm serious. They'll have 5, 6, 10 of these $200, $300 Bibles. I'm like, man, what do you eat? They taught us in preaching school, you can't eat books. I know you like books and you want to buy all these books, but you better make sure you save enough money so you can eat. Okay? Is it inherently sinful to buy that $200, $300 Bible? No. But why are we buying them, and why are we collecting them in large numbers? Are we wanting to show off? Because if we are, that's a sin. I told you, I better be careful. I'm going to be blacklisted. Tell you what, those $15 Bibles preach just as good as those 200 ones. I don't know. Modesty is an issue. Hate to break it to us. I think we all know it, though, don't we? Modesty is an issue in this country, and it's certainly an issue sexually speaking, but it's also an issue from a humility standpoint. So let's make sure that we as Christians are living modestly in everything that we do. By the way, we've just mainly talked about clothing today. What about cars? What about houses? What about, see, we could just go on and on and on. I'd have to ask for Neil's permission on that, but we could go on and on talking about modesty. Think about all this stuff. All this stuff. Because who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving God? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, verse 33, or are we serving ourselves? You can't serve God and mammon. So think about that today when we talk about modesty. What motivates you through life? Trying to impress people? Flirting? Flaunting? Wearing those things you ought not be wearing? Getting that attention from those young men, those young women? Is that what motivates you? Or are you motivated by serving God humbly? Again, what are we? We're most unprofitable servants. And so, be motivated by that. Wanting to be like Christ, our Savior. Humble, modest, not bringing attention to ourselves, but rather striving to give glory to God, because that's where the glory will be in the end. Think about these things this morning. It may be the case that you need to obey the gospel this morning. In flaming fire, Jesus is going to return, destroying those who obey not the gospel. So if you haven't done that, please consider doing that this morning. Romans chapter 6. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. You can do that this very morning. We can get that done, taken care of right away, because that's how they did it in the book of Acts. It was immediate. Took care of it right away, and we can do that for you today. Repenting of your sins, confessing faith in Christ, believing in him, in his promise, that he will save you when you do that. If you repent and be baptized. It may be the case that you've done that, but you're not living as a faithful child of God. It may be that you're not living in this modesty aspect, and oh no, people's been looking at me and I've not been being modest. Maybe that's a sin of a public nature, and we need to come forward and express that and ask God to forgive us. Whatever the case may be, if you need to come forward for whatever reason, please do so as together we stand and sing. You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.